The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
News Talk 710 KNUS, live from CPAC 2021 in Orlando, Florida. Presented by Chris's Garage Doors. Need to add a new garage door or repair an existing door? Call a company you can trust. Chris's Garage Doors at 720-277-8451 or online at chrisgaragecolorado.com. Now, Randy Corcoran, live from CPAC 2021 in Orlando, Florida.
The show. I'm having withdrawals already, but it's worth it. It's really good to have you here on our itsy bitsy teensy weensy Saturday morning show, where we are focused on telling three main truths. Number one, this election was stolen. Number two, the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine is our enemy, not just our opponent. Not just someone we have to deal with, but someone we have to consciously expose and take out. And number three, the fight for liberty is just warming up. And I am so pleased to kick off the CPAC edition of Wake Up with Randy Corcoran with one of those true fighters. Tracy Beans, if you're on Twitter, new to Twitter, you wouldn't know her because she's been kicked. But she runs the UncoverDC.com website, investigative journalist. And what I love about you, I mean, your house burned down a couple of months ago, and you are still out there just fighting the fight and digging for the truth. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here. There was no other option, right? Because what else was I going to do? Just sit around and cry? I mean, you know what I mean? There was too many things at stake. I mean, the country's at stake. I love your opening at 3 points. That's so true.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got these tensions now, especially in AM radio land, where some folks, you know, they're afraid of lawsuits and they're afraid of how the Biden administration is going to rain down hell on talk radio. But in my mind, when that's coming, when your government is trying to silence your voice, when they're trying to use the big lie to scare you away from talking, it's never been more important to speak up and speak out. And
that's when you go out in a blaze of glory then, right?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, self-censoring doesn't work. That's what I did on Twitter. I knew it was going to come eventually, so I went out in a blaze of glory.
The CPAC focus has been is pretty interesting. Yesterday there were three sections on voter fraud, election integrity, what to do, what happened in certain states. So we'll have Hans von Spakovsky here, who's really done a deep dive for the Heritage Foundation on election fraud here in a couple of hours. But tomorrow, nothing today on elections per se, but tomorrow they're doing four more sections. So CPAC is definitely focused. I heard someone during the morning sessions say that one thing Republicans need to remember, we have 30 state legislatures, total Republican control. Over 150 or 60 bills are already in place to try and secure the next round of elections. So there is action that can be taken. There's nothing we can do to go back, but we can do something moving forward.
Correct. There's actually a lot going on right now. You know, just yesterday in Arizona, there was the judge that finally enforced the subpoenas that the Arizona State Senate gave to the Board of Elections in Maricopa County. And they're going to provide this information now, but they're still acting as though they were doing it to protect the identity of voters. And it's just nonsense. So if, you know, whatever's uncovered in Arizona, if anything, will be helpful moving forward. Same thing in Georgia, in Pennsylvania. You know, Wisconsin, I mean, the Wisconsin election was just, even the Supreme Court of Wisconsin agreed that there was fraud with that indefinitely detained group of voters there, or almost 200,000 votes.
Yeah, you really have to look at the dissents to get the flavor of what really went on in some of those cases.
That ruling actually went in President Trump's favor. They just didn't have any way you know, they didn't have any way for them to adjudicate it.
You're talking about the one where they said people who are indefinitely confined.
Right.
And that was just such a fraudulent misuse of...
Yeah, did I say detained?
Yeah.
I think I said... That's what it feels like sometimes.
Well, it feels like it here at CPAC because
know.
The mask police are in force.
Can I just sit here and talk to you for the next 4 hours?
I don't breathe. To...
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, too, because people are mad at CPAC, and it's really not CPAC's fault. We are in a Democrat-controlled city, Orlando, Florida, in a beautifully run Republican state.
Yep.
But these mayors have a tremendous amount of power, and mayor has put the pressure on the Hyatt. The Hyatt has put the pressure on CPAC. And we were just informed before we went on the air that there's now a three-strike rule, which means I should already be out of here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If they confront you three times, you're out. No questions asked.
I've been a good girl so far. Because you know why? I branded my mask with Uncover DC, so I feel like there's a righteous reason to wear it. If I'm going to be forced
good
to wear
advertisement.
It.
UncoverDC.com is a great, great website. I want to dig in a little bit more into the election fraud situation, but talk to people a little bit about you, your experience, and why they should be looking at UncoverDC.com.
Oh, thanks. So I saw this gaping hole where actual journalism used to live, and I could have gone and written for other people, but you don't have any control over that stuff. And things I've seen and experienced over and over, they get shuffled to the back of the pile. Important stories are sat on, you know, oh, we're not going to publish that. It's too controversial. Or, you know, as long as everything is sourced and actual and true, I don't think that stories should be placed on the bottom of the pile that have import for the rest for the country. If people can't make informed decisions about things, that's why we, you know, the election integrity has the strength and fortitude to move forward is because so many people were informed about what had gone on. So I just said, you know what? No one else is doing it. I'm going to do it myself and started Uncover DC. And we've grown a lot. It's been such a great ride so far.
Before Twitter shut you down, how many followers had you acquired there? Do you recall?
Yeah, it was almost 600,000.
Yeah, so not a bad little roll to...
No, and most of them were actually after early November. It was after the election because I was really dug in on that. And so a lot of people came on board after that. But the thing about it is... They can secretly put you in whatever box they want on Twitter. They can control your information, where it goes, how many people see it, what your reach is. So banning everyone, because basically they did it to everybody, forced us to other platforms on a full-time basis.
Yeah.
And now they have no control over the information anymore. So they really just shot themselves in the foot, in my opinion, because now they can't shadow ban anyone. So all the things they wanted us to stop talking about are freely being discussed elsewhere.
And in addition, people, entrepreneurs are out there looking. Some of these platforms aren't as elegant and easy to use as Twitter is, and they're working on that.
Yep.
I mean, we're going to have some competition out there that will be very, very interesting. We're talking to Tracy Beanz, B-E-A-N-Z. You can find her at UncoverDC.com. And Tracy, on election night, I was watching, you know, flipping around to different coverages. I watched you with my friend Larry Schweikert.
Yep.
What was the feeling as you watched the vote counts suddenly start to spike the other way?
You know, we were actually interviewing Dr. Kelly Ward when they did their Arizona shenanigans, and she was beside herself. She couldn't believe that they could possibly call the state of Arizona before they had counted any of the votes in Arizona. And we were just sort of incredulous, and we had gone off air, I think, at around 11 p.m., so a lot of the states stopped counting as I was getting back to my hotel room. And yeah. I was like, oh, my gosh, they're actually going to do this. It was so transparent to me what they were doing. I still had hope. I had hope up until the 6th that something would
give. Yeah, I did, too. I did, too. Absolutely.
So
this... It's interesting you brought up the Arizona judge has finally ordered the subpoenas to be complied with. And everybody says, you know, it's the big lie, all these big lawsuits. I'm actually a defense lawyer for the Gateway Pundit in one of the defamation lawsuits brought by one of the bigwigs at Dominion, Eric Coomer, who's a Colorado native. And so, you know, we're excited about the possibility of discovery.
You know what? I'm excited to ask you a question about that, actually. What would possess Dominion to do that? Do they think they have a judge who will not order discovery that you request? How are they going to get around that?
Well, it's interesting. You know, you're always trying to think the strategy through from the other side. And the lawsuits are a joke in the first place because they're claiming these $1.2 billion in damage. They haven't made $1.2 billion in the last 10 years, you know?
Yeah. So, and the market's actually pretty saturated with them, too, so there's not the potential to make $1.2 billion.
Actual damages is one of the pieces of a defamation lawsuit. But I think it's all about the optics right now. For a court case to play out, it could take years if it actually goes to trial. Defamation lawsuits are extremely difficult to bring against, especially if you're a public figure, to bring against a news reporter. Joel Altman is the person who broke the story on Eric Coomer and his Antifa, the alleged Antifa ties. Now that I'm a lawyer, I guess I have to throw that in.
Yeah.
And so... If they have a target, he's probably their best chance of getting somebody on defamation. But for a news aggregator like Michelle Malkin or Gateway Pundit or somebody else to simply share those stories and interview someone like Joel Altman, how they can tie that into a defamation claim is going to be difficult. So I think the cases for at least the vast majority of defendants will go away on early motions to dismiss, which is a disappointment,
even though
it'll save people a lot of money.
I know. I mean, Mike Lindell is so excited.
Yeah.
He's really excited. He really, truly is excited to go through this process because he knows what he thinks he has. He knows. And he says, all right, let's go. Bring it on. Let's do this. He's willing to leave it all on the table. God bless him, I think. So,
yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, for people who are so, oh my gosh, lawsuits, they're just so scary. They're expensive.
Yeah.
They can be, stressful and time consuming, and really only the lawyers benefit in many cases. But they're essential sometimes. And if you truly believe in the information that you have and the cause that you're behind, then of course you're not going to run away from that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to settle. Fox News has already filed a significant motion to dismiss in their Dominion defamation suit, and we're going to see a lot more of those. It is interesting, too, you brought up the Arizona judge. If there's nothing to hide, why are they hiding so much?
It makes literally zero sense. I mean, they should have been jumping up and down to have televised audits.
Absolutely.
They should have been saying, okay, you know, our guy won. We know it. He's popular. He's got all the support of everybody in the country. We're going to prove it to you. Tape us watching these votes. Tape us doing the audit of the paper. Live stream this all over for everyone to see.
Then watch our stock fly for the next election.
Right.
People will want to use our machines.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, the governments in these places should have been jumping up and down for this. The only lawsuit that has gotten to the evidentiary stage so far has been Antrim, Michigan. And in that lawsuit, the forensic examination of the Dominion machines showed they were pushing out 68% error rate on those ballots. What does that mean? That means a human being got 68% of the ballots to sit in front of and adjudicate. And using Dominion machines, this is just a fact that's in their own books, in their own manuals, you can change who voted for who on those ballots.
You can decide the intent of the voter.
Correct.
Or
disqualify a ballot just because the wind blows in one way or the other.
And so people say, well, of course, you have to have an ability to adjudicate. But the point behind that is there should be a Democrat and a Republican sitting there observing and a tiebreaker if there's an objection. And they did all of this behind closed doors, basically.
Correct. And, you know, these machines were always sold to us as this is so transparent. There's a paper backup. There's a paper backup. You'll be able to see. There'll never be a problem because there's a paper backup. And now in Arizona, these guys have been trying to get the paper backup for months now with legitimate, you know, Board of Elections ignoring subpoenas from the Senate in Arizona.
And, you know, you don't have to even make your case with the voting machines to talk about the way the election was stolen. When Hans von Spakovsky joins us at 11 o'clock Denver time, the arguments there will be the constitutional violations, the violations of law, the illegal votes that came in, all of those kinds of things. You put it all together, and we have to get to the bottom of this, or the United States of America as a free country is over.
Correct. And, you know, a lot of people shy away from the machines and the way the machines work. That's true. You don't even need the machines, but I think they're also a very crucial component because the reason why they needed the mail-in ballots, the reason why they counted the way they did, the reason why they scanned in, you know, 20,000 ballots after the fact when nobody was in the room is because the machine, they needed more. They needed more.
I know. Let's have a water main break. Send the turns out to be a leaking urinal.
Right.
send everybody home, and then start the recount and pull the ballots out from under the tables. Nothing to see here.
And it wasn't even a recount. They said that they were, you know, still scanning absentee ballots.
No, restart the count, I think I said. But
yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
We both did it today. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, there's video of same ballots being run through the machines, ballots with no folds, all kinds of different things like that.
In Georgia, we were watching that hearing where they were showing that video, and the senator there, I forget her name, was literally telling us on, she was saying, but he said that that didn't happen. And are you seeing this? It's on video, right?
Yeah,
in front of you,
yeah.
You know, playing right there on that screen is what we're saying. And she's like, no, Raffensperger said that didn't happen. And we're like,
yeah,
upside down world.
Yeah. But you know what? Everybody's eyes are on this process now going forward. And so they may have bought this this steal. We're going to see a lot of harm to the country as a result of this steal. But the swing back of the pendulum is often quite vicious and quite effective.
What did you think about and I lost my thought.
Well,
of
we're
course.
Let me just reset for people who are just joining us. It's Tracy Beans, B-E-A-N-Z. Her website is uncoverdc.com. If it pops back in, let me know.
Yeah.
But we're going to run out of time here. We only got a minute or two left, and I could talk to you for an hour, and I hope we can maybe have you back on the show, do some phone interviews moving forward. One thing I've noticed about the CPAC is, you know, Fox News has a tiny little corner down there for a witness or a guest. Yet Fox Nation, their web streamer, has a whole massive studio set up here. And I'm seeing a lot more podcasts and smaller radio stations and just individual groups who have put together methods and mechanisms to bring people together, get information out. That seems to be a more of a driving force at this CPAC than last year.
Absolutely. Independent media, lots of independent networks here. And of course, they're pushing the Fox Nation because they can be a lot more free, in my opinion, on Fox Nation.
Sure.
And I mean, podcasting is obviously big, but I think radio is still the most important medium we have because anybody can turn it on whenever they're going to work or coming home. And you guys have been like a real concrete wall to stop the nonsense and get information out to people. When I need to talk about a story, I love going on radio to do it. It's just the best way to speak to people right now, live, right away. Podcasts aren't usually live, you know, so it's different.
And, you know, it's fun with radio because you can do the live calls and,
yep.
and breaking news as it comes and just kind of going with the flow. So it is a great love of mine. I've been talked to about doing some more podcasting, and especially since I'm only on once a week, I think that's probably necessary mm-hmm. to have more access to get things out. I'm the newly elected Republican National Committee man
yes.
from Colorado.
Yes.
And also chair the largest Tea Party group in Colorado.
Good.
So it's just so cool that people who've been grassroots activists are getting into these positions where we can keep an eye on things.
We're doing this in South Carolina right now, the reorg. It's happening. So everyone watch out.
Absolutely. Tracy, we've got less than a minute. What stories are you working on? Why should people go check out uncoverdc.com this weekend?
We're still following all this election shenanigan, but we're also working on some other stories, particularly as it pertains to agriculture in the United States, things that you guys don't want to miss. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
It's awesome. I hope you'll grab one of my cards. Send me an email. My cell phone number's on there. And let's stay in touch
sure.
so we can just continue to spread the word. It's a real pleasure to get to see you face to face.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks
in
so
Denver.
Much.
All right. I'm Randy Corporate. It's coming up on 11:20 here in sunny Orlando, Florida. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Bob Carlstrom to get an update on AMAC, the opposition to that horrible, horrible few letters that I refuse to name right now on 710 KNUS. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Randy Corporate, live from CPAC 2021 in Orlando, Florida.
Very, very exciting to be here at CPAC. Yesterday was on fire. I know these videos will be available after the fact on YouTube and at the CPAC website. You can usually see all of the great speakers. Hopefully later in the show we'll get to talk about some of that. But 11:25 in Orlando, 9:25 in Denver, and we're really trying to move some people through here on the microphone today, even if we're just short and quick, so that we make some relationships and we can have some follow-up interviews, provide you information that you need, political information, And now we're going to talk about something that has a political component as well as a health component and an information component. Very, very important to seniors. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard the advertisements for AMAC. And I always refer to it as the antidote to the AARP. And the president of AMAC Action, Bob Carlstrom, has dropped by, and he's going to tell us a little bit about AMAC. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Randy, and it's good to be with you and good to be with your listeners. AMAC, which is essentially the Association of Mature American Citizens, is really the conservative alternative to AARP. It was founded in late 2007 by Dan and Judy Weber. So those two people plus two of their kids started it, and we're now over at 2.34 million members. These are real dues-paying members. They're not constant contact members. And we're very active. Our model is really patterned after AARP. We offer really terrific benefits, more benefits, in fact, in a lot of respects than they do, more qualitatively so. For example, in that area, quickly, AARP offers Medicare Advantage through United Health. We offer 10 choices for Medicare Advantage, you know, plus 5 choices in Medicare Supplement. Our age group is 50-plus, but we have a number of 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and 40-somethings that are joining us because they want to become a part of a conservative organization, association, that is really going to advance conservative principles and really fight the left. AMAC Action is the advocacy affiliate of AMAC itself. I lead that. We have a national grassroots capacity. We have many, many people very active in just delegates and meeting with their members of Congress and their home districts as well as state legislators. We also make use of newer media, and we have over 250,000 advocate members who, in fact, get out there and they'll email, they'll call their elected representatives and weigh in on issues. They've been extremely active during 2020. And the final component of us is the AMAC Foundation, which also provides Social Security advice free of charge to any American citizen in terms of how to negotiate with that. Questions like, when's the best time to retire? What are my benefits as a spouse of somebody who's passed? And that kind of thing. They take over 500 calls per month, and that's the AMAC Foundation. They published a book, Ask Rusty. So lots to offer, and look forward to chatting with you, Randy.
We get the AMAC magazine at my house. My mom was very easy to talk her away from AARP once AMAC came on the scene and there was an alternative. The AMAC slogan, Better for You, Better for America, draw some of the distinctions. AARP really had the field to itself for virtually decades. And what was wrong with that? What have they done wrong from the perspective of AMAC?
Well, I think one of the things we can thank AARP for is the passage of Obamacare. Indeed, AMAC was formed as a reaction to AARP going left, if you will, in terms of political lobbying and support. And, they're funded, I think, primarily through United Healthcare. They've got a great business arrangement there. You know, they clearly benefited financially after the passage of Obamacare and the restructuring that occurred in that. And, of course, millions of Americans were hurt very badly in terms of financially and ability to get insurance as a result of Obamacare. That law is a complete disaster. We almost got rid of it a few years ago, save one vote in the Senate. But you will find us on the other end of the political spectrum, the right side of the political spectrum.
Yeah, better for you, better for America. The website is amac.us. You're from AMAC Action, which is amacaction.org. What issues, what reasons should draw people to check out your websites and maybe get involved with AMAC?
Well, our primary issue, and we have several issues this year, But our primary issue is one, stopping this horrendous bill called H.R. 1, which is called For the People Act, but it's really should be called For More Government Control Act. Simply, it federalizes elections by the complexity of it, which essentially forces the states, who have really a primacy in election law, to essentially conform to what's mandated there for the election of members of the House of Representatives and the Senate. It also really is an assault on your First Amendment political free speech because it's going to equate it with electioneering and recording and requiring you to almost register in those cases. So that's one that we're fighting. On the corollary, and we're very solution-oriented, we will be working with a number of conservative organizations and through our national grassroots network, which you all are invited to participate in, to pass election reform, election integrity, and true the vote, if you will, in states so that we don't see the degree of fraud, you know, and absurd and outrageous results that occurred in this last election.
It's been a while since our family became a member of the AMAC family. What does it cost somebody to get just to sign up at a basic level, and what benefits do they see?
Well, as for $16 a year, which is about 3 lattes, you will receive a tremendous magazine. This last one had President Trump on the cover as Man of the Year, elected by our members. It comes out 6 times a year. There's daily email updates. There's a weekly update. We also have lots of benefits. Some I mentioned earlier in terms of the benefits that are available. Discounts and those kinds of things that are available to members of AMAC, they absolutely mirror AARP. And also, you have as a benefit the ability, if you want to become an active advocate and receive a lot of substantive support and direction and coaching and things like that, you can join AMAC Action and become a participant in AMAC Action and advocate and become an advocate with fellow AMAC members and others in your home district and in your state.
It seems like AARP does a really good job, especially in their advertising, portraying this neutral view. We're just here to help seniors find their benefits, support them with these supplemental plans and things like that. But they have become a radical leftist activist organization. Is that an overstatement?
Yeah, it's pretty close. They really have. They've gone to the left politically, you know, and I think many of their members had no idea of what they've done politically because, you know, they have about 7 corporations in that overall structure, of which the foundation is one. And that's why AMAC was formed. As a direct reaction to AARP going left, their support for the election of inherent support for the election of President Obama, their direct support and collaboration, you know, in the passage of Obamacare, and I think they were even involved in Dodd-Frank. So we find that they're not helpful in terms of the legislative priorities that seniors have. You know, we have another issue out there, saving Social Security. It's called the Social Security Guarantee. And that's to save Social Security without increasing the payroll tax. And this is legislation not just for old folks, because at my age of 73, it's too late for me, but this is for up-and-coming generations. You know, and our legislative priorities are really focused on the younger generations and making America better for them.
Yeah, young people are forced to contribute to a system that, unless serious reforms are made, will not be there to provide them any benefit later in life.
No, that's exactly right. We went into the basic law itself and made a couple of fixes there. And in fact, for the poor, we'll guarantee under our proposal a annual COLA of a minimum 3%, a maximum of 4%. And we make some adjustments going up for the higher end people, but there's no cuts in the basic benefit, just in the future increases. And it's a very easy thing. It takes the third rail, if you will, a political third rail out of it, and should make it easier for both Democrats and Republicans to adhere to. The sad thing is the Democrats still just want to increase the taxes, you know, and that's not the way to deal with things. You need to fix the organic structure itself.
Talking with Bob Carlstrom, he's the president at AMAC action? The political, is it a PAC or is it just an action arm of?
No, we're a C4 advocacy affiliate of AMAC.
We're scheduled to be joined here in just a couple of minutes by Rich Valdez, Mr. Call Screener for the Mark Levin Show. In the last minute or so that we have together, any last words that you'd like to impart to our listeners? I can't implore people enough, especially if you're a member of AARP, to take a look at AMAC, see what both agencies and organizations are doing, and see where your money benefits are very, very comparable, perhaps even better sometimes at AMAC, but see where you want your money being used.
Thank you. Randy, I think that the time is now to really get active and insist on the integrity of your vote in your states. It is too crucial. And look at your existing representatives and whether or not they were strong or did they wilt under political pressure. And because the primaries will be coming up in early 22, and certain members of Congress who failed, you know, probably ought to be replaced by people with backbone. But this is very serious. We are almost in a July 4, 1776 situation. We cannot allow the Democratic Party to foster the amount of election fraud there and have their efforts to establish a one-party system in this country be successful. We need to stand strong.
Bob Carlstrom, I'm so glad that we connected today because, you know, it's really easy, 3 hours once a week, to just get into all of the high emotion stories and flex your muscle, vent your anger and things like that. This is actual rock solid grassroots information that can help seniors and non-seniors alike push back against this heavy push to the left that our country is struggling to survive. And so really appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us in our audience in Denver.
Thank you, Randy, and everybody have a good day.
You better believe it. Coming up in a few minutes, we expect to be joined by Rich Valdez. He's Mr. Call Screener for the Mark Levin Show and does a mighty fine job when he fills in for Mark and has quite an interesting story to tell you. Top of the hour, we're going to check in on the status of the recall Douglas County School Board effort. I think we're down to about 52 days left, 53 days left. Nate Ordman will check in. He's at DIA, I think. And we'll get an update on fundraising and ways that you can help. Hans von Spakovsky will join us at 1 o'clock, and we will dig into, you know, I'm one of the lawyers on the defense side of one of these defamation election lawsuits, and we talk about that a fair amount. But Hans will talk to us about the constitutional and legal violations that went on in battleground state after battleground state, really lock it down. We've got an awful lot more for you planned ahead, and so I hope that you'll stay with us. It's Wake Up with Randy Corcoran here on 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS with Randy Corcoran live from CPAC 2021 in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, yeah. Live radio. What is it? Peter Boyle says, no man, it's master, especially at CPAC. They're pulling junk out from behind us, crawling around under our table. Our next great guest shows up in a swimsuit, so we're wishing that we had the video stream running live right now on 710 KNUS. I'm Randy Corcoran. Good to have you along. And really, really excited to be joined by someone who regular listeners to 710 KNUS be very, very familiar with, affectionately referred to as Richie V or Mr. Call Screener from the Mark Levin Show. He does a lot of radio and advocacy and work with the Trump administration of his very, very own. And we've got him for a while. Rich Valdez, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
What's up, Colorado? What's going on, Randy? How you guys doing?
Doing great, man. And you've got a lot of irons in the fire. So real quick, I know we've got limited time, but how did you get drawn into radio, and then how has all of the political fire taken off from there?
Well, you know, so it's interesting. When I was in my 20s, I got into politics just because I said, you know what, this Al Gore guy, he just really looks like a wuss. And for a former vice president, you'd think he's best positioned to take over after Clinton. And again, not novice. I didn't know anything about politics, but I saw him as a man, and I said, he's a failure, and I can't support that. So I said, you know, let me check out this guy, Bush. And I was like, you know what? I align with some of what he's doing. Maybe not all of it, but some of it. As a Hispanic, my parents are born in Puerto Rico. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I kind of gravitate towards, you know, family values, faith, all of that stuff that we hear so much about. And I said, you know what? I like this guy, Bush. And then I realized there was some cronyism. There was this. There was that. The Country Club Republicans weren't for me. I became more conservative. And eventually I got into government. I worked in Governor Chris Christie's administration for a while. And while not the most conservative guy, had a conservative streak in him. And it's Jersey, so, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a different world. But
although I think we're seeing who Chris Christie really is now, that he's not in any real position of power.
Yeah, I can tell you, I have disagreements with some of his positions, but by and large, really proud of the work we did in New Jersey. It was hard to do with Democrats in both houses of the legislature. And after being in government, I got into media. I did a little bit of a column at the Washington Times. And before you knew it, I took a little sabbatical, was working in higher ed, and The Mark Levin Show was looking for a political guy that wasn't a radio guy to be the associate producer there. And I said, you know what? That might be me. So, you know, we met. It was a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
Thank me.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, I've run into Mark a few times. And the one thing he'd remember, he was giving a speech at a Tea Party 10-year anniversary thing we did in Washington, D.C. And people were just crowding around him. And it's clear to me that he likes to be alone with his thoughts before he speaks. And then he's happy. You know, he loves to spend time with everybody. So I finally said, Mark, you need a wingman. And he said, yes, I do. And I just started shooing people away and saying, Mark's going to stick around. But right now, you know, he's getting ready to go up there and speak. So I saw him at Washington, D.C. when the president gave his acceptance speech. And just really got... Rush Limbaugh brought everybody into talk radio who's conservative.
No doubt.
We found a voice, somebody who explained things in a way that was easy to understand. We realized we're not evil and we're not out there alone. But what I'm an attorney as well, and what I really love about the work that Mark does is it's just the granular look that he digs down into very, very important issues and does not let people get away through the events, the craziness of the day, to get away from remembering how important it is to understand why we're here and what we're fighting for.
He's solidly grounded in the Constitution and focused on liberty, and that's very much a match for my own worldview. So I think that's really the focus. We have to focus on liberty, and it's really, I think, quite in line with what's going on here at CPAC, America Uncanceled. How about that?
Incredible.
It's fantastic. Incredible. That I'm doing an interview with a human being in front of me, not a Zoom camera.
Yeah, and I love your story. Hispanic, of course, is great. Donald Trump did more to welcome in Hispanics and blacks and just
gays.
Increase
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
He really did have the first gay cabinet member.
Yeah, and Rick Grinnell was great today. He was on
Hardcore stage.
All of these CPAC videos you'll be able to see later. But he didn't say it, but he certainly teased that when Newsom is recalled in California that he's going to be on the ballot. That should be fascinating to watch.
That's a win.
But coming back to you, man, you put your money where your mouth is. You formed a charter school and then worked on the board of the charter school. You're involved politically, and now you've got a great show in New York and a podcast working with Mark Levin. And you got together with Donald Trump in the National Diversity Coalition.
Yeah, that's terrific. And that work really focuses on continuing to invite more minorities, Hispanics, Latinos, blacks, you name it. Just saying, hey, you know, kind of what Trump said, what do you got to lose?
Isn't it ridiculous that we have to kind of go through that list? Because what we're about on this side of the political spectrum is people.
Americans.
It doesn't, right. It doesn't matter what color you are or who you sleep with or anything else.
But, you know, it's kind of like being passive and saying, look, I get into an argument with a guy, I want to talk it out. And then there's another guy that says, I get into an argument with a guy, I want to punch him in the face. So when you get with the guy that wants to punch you in the face, you're not going to say, hey, why are you punching me in the face? You're going to punch him back.
Sure.
And that's what happens. You know, they try to segment society. Yeah. The black has to not like the white. The Hispanic is relegated to whatever they want. The gay has to hate the straight, and the rich has to hate the poor. And when they try to do that, this is Marxism 101. They're trying to separate people, put them into groups. And I think we don't stand for that. We're like, hey, we're the big tent. Come on, come one, come all. But we have to fight back, and that's how they fight, so we got to fight.
Talking with Mr. Call Screener from the Mark Levin Show, doing plenty of great radio and political work on his own, Rich Valdez. The thing that people always seem to forget is that we haven't changed.
Right.
We've been standing here on the Constitution and freedom and individual responsibility, national security, love of America. America First is the great label that Donald Trump has made kind of the mantra for us here at CPAC and us moving forward. While the left has just continued to just drag the country further and further down the rabbit hole of Marxism.
You know, I'm so encouraged when you say that, because I frequently tell people that have turned on me.
Yeah.
I was a Bush guy. That was a long time ago already.
Sure.
You know, so people know, oh, Rich Valdez, yeah, he's a Puerto Rican, he's a Republican. That's cool. But when I became a supporter of Trump, it was all of a sudden like, you could support Chris Christie, you could support George W. Bush, you can't support Trump. Because, no, he's this phobe, that phobe, this ism and that ism. And I find it interesting. I have two teenage daughters, 15 and 19. I've never pushed any politics on them, but I teach them worldview. They make their own choices. And I hear them tell me how nonsensical the left's arguments sound. And it's music to my ears.
Yes.
Because I say, you know, if a little girl can see that, there's a whole lot of other Americans out there that can see it, too.
My daughter has two babies, one a little over two and the other 6-7 months.
Congratulations.
Very, very exciting. But especially as a mother, she never was really, my son more into politics just because dad, you know, was on the radio and doing different things. Her, not so much. And now I get the same thing. She's like, what are they doing? What are they talking about? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? And it was wise to give her the free rein to come to those conclusions on her own and not to try and shove stuff down her throat. Live by example. Talk when you think you've got an ear. But mostly just stay quiet, support, love, and they come to the right conclusions.
100%, Randy. And, you know, I think it's so poignant that you said that, because this is what I see. And I think it's so important for I call them the regular people. They don't care about politics.
Yeah.
They want to raise their children. They want to go to work. They want to live a life, go to Disney. That's all everybody wants.
Sure.
Irrespective of your political affiliation, because most people are apolitical, in my opinion, most. Now, we've become a little bit more hyper-political recently, but that's all right. But when the regular people come and they come to you to start political conversation and say, what are they doing? This is bananas. How's this happening?
Yeah.
You know that we're right and we're winning. So I'm really excited to see. I get to speak tomorrow at 2:40 in the afternoon here at CPAC.
Excellent.
And that's an hour right before President Trump.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about that because I'm going to have a captive audience. Obviously, people are going to be camping out for a while to make sure they have a good seat. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think it's important that we continue to ring the bell for liberty and talk about the issues that are so important to equip people and inspire them to go out there kind of reinvigorated and let's bring this thing back.
And remind people, hold the left accountable for the failures of their policies,
mm-hmm.
and then with tremendous pride, get your facts together with tremendous pride, share the unmitigated successes, the unparalleled successes of Donald Trump in 4 short years with everything against him, with every arm of the deep state and inside government, people in his own party trying to stop him, take him out,
mm-hmm.
and yet we saw just what unleashing the power of America can do in 4 short, even restricted sort of years.
What the bureaucracy in Washington has done, and really nationwide, is a disgrace to our republic. And I'm hoping that events like these, the work that you're doing, the work that we all do collectively, really is going to bring us closer and closer to just reaching more hearts and minds so that they know we have to stand up for America. America first. It's a liberty agenda, or in Spanish, a libertad agenda. And I'm going to keep ringing that bell as long as I can.
I've got to fill in one time on a nationally syndicated talk show. I filled in for Steve Dace. Do you know Steve?
Yeah.
And
I haven't met him personally, but I used to listen to his show because it was syndicated in New York. And
yeah.
He came on with a buddy, Kevin McCullough, who I know well.
And he's on Blaze TV. Where
yeah, sure.
And Mark's still there, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So he's got a new book coming out on Fauci. And he texted me about it last night.
America's doctor.
It is amazing the first time you flip open a microphone and realize you're talking to the nation. Isn't it?
You know,
how did you feel?
I'll tell you this. People ask me that all the time. What's it like? You
know,
you get to sit in for the great one. I've done it like half a dozen times. And each and every time, it's like having a friend that has a Ferrari. And they're like, yeah, take a spin.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy God, I didn't know cars could do this.
Yeah.
You know, it really is amazing. Every last word you say, people are hearing it. You see it on social. It's a real national conversation. And it's a beautiful thing. It
truly is. We're talking to Rich Valdez, Mr. Call Screener from the Mark Levin Show, does his own a show on WABC in New York. And what do you expect from Donald Trump tomorrow? I've only got a couple minutes left.
I think the president is going to kind of set the agenda. I think he's going to say, hey, look, you know what? This is America first, no matter what. I also think in very Trumpian fashion, he's going to say, you know what, maybe I'll run, maybe I won't.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but I think he needs to wage war, political war, on the McConnell wing of the party. That has to happen. People have to see them as the enemy. Liz Cheney, nice as she is, I think we have to have this conversation, and maybe we definitely have to have it at the ballot box.
It was really shocking to me to hear just how vicious Mitch McConnell, even Kevin McCarthy on the House, you know, came out against Donald Trump after January 6th. Mark Levin read that very strong piece from a military expert a couple of nights ago on his show, and that really explained how things unfolded. And the narrative that we've heard about January 6th has just simply been a flat-out lie. As wrong as it was, as much as we decry any of our people or the infiltrators that were there doing any kind of harm, hurting anyone, damaging property, of course they should be prosecuted.
Absolutely. The law.
But the narrative is wrong, and it's another way they're trying to throw an anchor around Trump's neck.
You lie first, right? If you're a leftist, you lie first, and then you, the honest man, the innocent man, you spend all of your time trying to deconstruct your honesty and the real truth. And it's a farce. And if you look at how the communists did it, this is Lenin style, this is Stalin style, and it's truly horrific to see it happening. And more so, what I think is more horrific is the way that it's taken root within the Republican Party. So they're no longer the barometer, the safe haven of, hey, we're going to hold on to that. Because I think even when you were dealing with moderates, they stood up for what was right.
Rich Valdez, from your unique perspective, just your history, everything that you've done, everything that you're doing now, does America survive? Do we come back stronger than ever? Is it going to hurt? I mean, how do you see the future?
I'll tell you this. I told my kid today, she's 19, we're having breakfast, and I said, I don't know if Daddy's right or wrong, but I'll tell you this. I am an eternal optimist. I believe in America. I really believe in liberty making a comeback. I believe in America being uncanceled. I believe that's the case. I think better days are ahead. I just cannot see America succumbing to the left.
Rich, how can people tune into you, find your podcast, see your work out there?
Sure. Yeah, I'm at Rich Valdez with an S on all social media. RichValdez.com is the website. And you can just, if you get podcasts, wherever you get podcasts, This is America with Rich Valdez. This is America. Rich Valdez is the podcast, and I'd love it if you'd check it out and subscribe.
Do you agree with me that the focus here at this CPAC has been much more on smaller radio, smaller TV, alternative podcast and other media outlets?
It's liberty in action.
I love it.
This is what it is.
Shut us down on these mainstream, watch their ratings, you know, the NFL, all the sports teams, the award shows, the ratings plummet. And yep. Here we're growing a new way to get liberty out to the masses.
Yesterday I spoke briefly with a couple of guys from Newsmax, and they were like, our growth has been meteoric.
Yeah.
And I think, look at that. Fox cut their own jugular.
Sure did.
Too bad.
And they have a corner down here with just one seat when they put their people on, whereas Fox Nation has a whole studio set up.
Well, you got Pete Hegseth and a bunch of good patriots over there.
Yeah.
That's actually who I was at the pool with right before when I messed up my time.
Rich, I really appreciate you taking some time out. Look forward to your remarks
on
Randy.
The main
stage.
It.
Let's stay in touch. Love to get you on sometime and keep spreading the word together.
Without a doubt. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it. And shout out to everybody in Colorado.
God bless you, sir. When we come back, we're going to check in on the status of the recall Douglas County School Board effort. I think there are about 52 days left in that. We'll see how the money raising's going. I support this group so much because the guy who started this tossed in $100,000 of his own money to recall this radical leftist local school board in one of our most Republican counties in the state of Colorado. So we'll update on that and then get back to the events at CPAC. So good to have you along on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. It's 710 KNUS.